Church, do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that you're a child of God? When you are called and when you call upon the name of the Lord, Scripture's clear on that. John 14:14 says, if I ask anything in his name. And then there's another portion. I felt led to do this morning. There's another portion of Scripture all the way back in the book of Exodus, chapter 26, where God is speaking to the nation of Israel. And he says something profound, and he gives indication then of who he is, and then who we are, really. He says, I am the Lord, your healer. You know what that means? If I'm a child of God, and John 14:14 says, I can call upon the name of the Lord. I can ask anything in his name. You know what happens in that moment? Healing shows up. Healing shows up, not just physical healing, mental healing, relational healing. I just felt led this morning to just do something a bit different. As we're standing this morning, and I would encourage you just to continue to stand. If there is a need in the house, because I know that there's needs. Folks, I know that there's needs. And if there's a need online, I would encourage you to do the same thing. That you would, if you're online, and if you just comment, you don't have to tell us what that is. Just say, I need prayer. Our service host, those that are joining online on that thread, they're going to start saying, I'm praying for you. This is what we're going to do in the house. If there's a need, I'm going to challenge you to step out in faith, right? We're going to speak the name of Jesus, just like these two songs, that I'm a child of God, and this is a house of miracles. And we're going to stand upon his word in that way. So if there's a need in the house, all I want you to do is just want you to raise your hand. And I would encourage saints, would you gather around? If you feel so led, this isn't weird. We're just stepping out in faith where the scripture says that we're going to lay hands on them and we're going to pray in the name of Jesus. We're going to agree together for healing. So if you see somebody around you, just go up, just say, would it be okay? Can I lay hands on you? I want to pray for you. Saints, would you do that right now? Let's just agree together. Let's just agree together. If you see a hand that's raised, if you see a hand that's raised around you, we're going to agree together in the name of Jesus. The powerful name of Jesus. And we're going to agree together in prayer. If I can have somebody, there's a hand up here. There's hands over here. Saints, I need you. Saints, come on now. There's more hands. I need people of the Lord to stand with these people who have needs this morning. Would you see somebody? Would you go right now? I'm not going to pray until I have every hand being prayed for right now. If you see somebody, saints, come on, help me now. Let's agree together. Let's be a church that prays with and for one another. He is Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Let's proclaim it in the name of Jesus. Father God, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, we invite you into this place. And we speak life and we speak healing. We don't need to know the circumstances. Father, you know, because in your word you said, I am your healer. And we proclaim healing today. We proclaim wholeness, health, restoration in the name of Jesus. We rebuke sickness in the name of Jesus. We rebuke depression in the name of Jesus. We speak against anxiety in the name of Jesus. We speak wholeness for marriages, for families. We speak for financial needs, God. In the name of Jesus, we proclaim it. We speak life over it. Your word says, ask anything in my name. That's what we're doing today. We want to be your church. We want to be your bride. And we speak over these individuals, these families, these needs, God. And we say in the name of Jesus, Jehovah Rapha, We speak healing. You are our healer. Whatever the needs, Father, we pray provide. And God, we won't want to leave here the same. We want to be changed. We want to be transformed. We want to be refreshed and renewed by your Holy Spirit. Don't let us leave here the same, Father. We've come here with the intentions of being transformed in the name and the likeness of Jesus Christ. Father, we proclaim it right now over everybody in the house, over everybody joining us online. We speak life, health, and wholeness in the strong name of Jesus and by the power of his shed blood. Father, we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory, for it's in your precious and holy name we ask this. And everyone said, amen. Let's just give a praise offering to the Lord right now. Father, we just give you thanks unto you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You may be seated. God is good, isn't he? All the time and all the time. God is good. Let me grab my, hey, Charles, actually, can you grab that top little piece of paper right there on my iPod for me? I think I said iPod. I'm a little old school. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Well, good morning. Good morning. My name is Pastor Mike, and I have the privilege of serving here as one of the associate pastors along with my wife, Christine. I want to welcome you this morning. If this is your first time here, we're excited to have you this morning. I just want to say thank you for being here. We want to greet you. We want to connect with you. It's a good thing that I'm not preaching today because I'm starting to lose my voice, apparently. So I think that's why I say God is good, and I'll preach, and I'll shout his name. Amen. Anybody else with me? We're going to praise him this morning, right? We're going to have a great time in the house of the Lord. But this is if this is your first time, thank you for being here. We want to connect with you. We want to make sure that we get to know you. The easiest way to do that, easiest way, first time here, do our QR code. You'll see that right in front of you in the pew that's right in front of you. You can find that on our bulletin, actually. You can see that on all of our tables out in the lobby. There's a little connect card QR code that we have that just takes you to a quick link. It's the easiest and it's the best way to connect with us. If you have any questions, we'll be able to communicate back and forth. And then if you're online, you can do that as well. We would love to hear from where you're joining us. I always say that, but I know some others that don't always do that when we do the announcements, and that's okay. But I always like to see where we're joining us from. So if you're in the house and this is your first time, just take your phone and just show the VIP center right out in the lobby. And we just want to bless you with a little gift that we prepared for you. A couple things about the church. I think some chocolates. I don't know. All the healthy things, because I think it's dark chocolate. So just so you know. But hey, real quick, just want to give you a couple announcements on what's coming up here at Crosspoint. We also have our Journey Night that continues this Wednesday. If you're not a part of Journey Night, I keep saying it. I am like Mr. Journey Night, I guess you could say. I don't know. But Journey Night's where it's at. If you want to grow in your faith, if you want to get to know others, come to Journey Night. We have our small groups that are happening this Wednesday night at 7 p.m. And then we'll always do what we call our first Wednesdays coming up. But I also do a class that we call Growth Track. Growth Track takes place on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. So I would encourage you to check out Growth Track if you're new to the church, if you don't know anything about Crosspoint, if you are like, hey, I want to get involved, I'd like to become a member. All of those things are what we do in Growth Track, happening each Sunday morning at 9 a.m. All right, so Wednesday, November 5th, that is a Journey Night, but that's also what we call our first Wednesday. First Wednesday, we're going to be having a meal. And unfortunately, I have to announce something that I know some of you probably will then cheer, and some of you will probably kind of groan. But the temperature is getting a little cold. Hold on. Here's where you're going to cheer. That means soup night's coming up. Yeah. How many love doing our soup nights when we do? Yeah. So we're going to do soup for the month of November, our first Wednesday. So that's coming up November 5th. So if you've never made soup for our journey nights, our dinners before, I'd encourage you, come talk to me. I will say, yes, please, soup, hello. And we have a variety, and that's always enough, and it's plenty, and everybody enjoys that night. So, again, I'm not thrilled about the temperatures, but I'm also a soup fan, so we're going to have fun. So that's November 5th, our first Wednesday, we're going to have soup. Sunday, November 16th, if you don't know, we're going to have a Thanksgiving luncheon, a dinner. I'd say lunch because I don't want anybody to get confused. Right after service, November 16th, right after service, we're going to join together. We're going to fellowship together, and we're going to have some food, and we're going to have some Thanksgiving fare. Now, here's the thing. I need you to sign up for that. And here's why. Because one, we need a count. And number two, we need to know who can bring what. We are going to provide meat, so we're going to have ham and turkey, but I need you to provide side dishes or desserts. And so what will happen, if you sign up, it's a little you text in, basically. You will text the word, I think, Thanksgiving, correct? And I don't remember the number. I'll get that to you. Don't worry. But you text into that number, Thanksgiving, and that will pop up, and there'll be a couple questions that it will ask you. All you do is respond to it, and we'll know how many people are coming, what you're going to be bringing, and it's just a blessing for us. I'm excited for it. November 16th, right after the service, we're going to have Thanksgiving lunch, okay? Now, November 19th, that's a Wednesday. Got a lot of announcements today. November 19th, our Journey Night Missionary Spotlight. How many remember we did this in the springtime? I think we had a missionary, his name was Stetz. He was from, I believe, Switzerland. We're going to do that again, but we're actually going to have somebody who's actually really connected with this body here, and that's Steve Wallent. He's a missionary to Germany, Austria, Finland. It's kind of that area that he focuses on. But that Wednesday night, he's going to have a room designated to him that he can answer questions. I'm not sure if he's preparing anything specifically. We did kind of just an open house, if you will. We could call it that, with our last missionary spotlight, and it worked out really, really well. So I would encourage you, if you are, if you're interested to find out, hear about, and to then experience what God is doing on the mission field. This is a missions-giving church. Yes, that's right. So this is a missions-giving church, but we support Steve and his wife, but we want to make sure that we connect with them. It's a great way to get to know them in that atmosphere. Come Wednesday, November 19th. All right, November, it wasn't the 30th, what was it? 20th, that's right. November 20th, Youth has the Reach Conference. So, Youth, can I get away from all my youth over here? Oh, do I see? Okay, that hands. Yeah, okay, I got them all then. All right, I just wanted to make them feel a little awkward. So, but Youth has a conference coming up called Reach. That's coming up on the 20th. Parents, talk to Noah or LG, and they will get you all the information. Last thing is, out in the lobby, if you're here in the lobby, out in the lobby, we have two tables that are for different things that we're doing through this holiday season. One is our summer camp fundraiser, which, by the way, that ends today, so you need to have those in today, those checks. But if you have any questions, there's a table out there, as well as Father's Heart Giving Tree. All that's self-explanatory. Just go check those out, some of the things that we try to do and the initiatives that we try to do here throughout the year. So how many remember the seed offering that we did a couple years ago for Easter? Okay, we adopted Rogers Assembly with Pastor Savako. We got an updated video that I would like to show for you. So would you join me? Check it out.
Hi, my name is Ken, and I serve as the lead pastor here at RA Church. You know, not so long ago, we received a generous donation from your church to invest in and help us grow our youth ministry. And since then, God has been moving and blessing us in some incredible ways. In June, we hired Mandy to come alongside and to help steer this vision and this passion we have for our teenagers. We set forth a threefold strategic focus in building community around our teenagers, helping them grow spiritually and closer to God, and then outreaching to the lost world around us.
Mandy has been all about helping students connect and belong. From an ice cream night at Orange Leaf, to a Christian concert, to an all-church movie night under the stars, it's been a blast. And to help our church celebrate Grandparents' Day, Our youth cooked and served a special meal for their grandparents, creating moments of love and laughter that no one will forget. Each Sunday night, Mandy challenges our students to dig into God's Word and live out their faith. Her lessons continue to help teens discover who they are in Christ. One of the most powerful moments came during our water baptism service, where several people were baptized as a direct result of her ministry. And now, she's taking that same energy into community outreach. This fall, Mandy encouraged our students lead prayer gatherings at their schools during See You at the Pole. She's been volunteering with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes at East Palestine High School, and one of our students is now feeling led to step into lead the junior high FCA at his school. Her next goal is getting kids to reach conference. Mandy helped our teens raise money by selling pepperoni rolls and raising enough money to fully fund 12 students.
Hi, my name is Mandy. I am a wife and mom of three. I am passionate about teaching kids, especially about Jesus. I'm also a substitute teacher at our local school. I just wanted to let you guys know, just in the short amount of time that I got to work with the students at Rogers Assembly, they have blown me away. They are eager to learn. They are hungry for Jesus. They raise their hands to read the next Bible verse, and just, I've seen so much growth in them. Their faith is growing, friendships are being made, and we're looking forward to the Reach Conference. Everyone's excited for that. But I just wanted to give you a small update and let you know how grateful we are for this opportunity, your generosity and prayers.
Yeah, give yourself a hand. Crosspoint, that is because God is faithful. When God laid that upon Pastor Brad's heart to do a seed offering, we didn't know. We didn't have the answer of where. We just knew what we needed to do. And you showed up, and you felt, and God laid it on many of your hearts just to be obedient. And look of the impact, right? Impact. That's our word for this year, right? Look at the impact, and we're so grateful for that. So just give yourself a gain. I want to just give you praise and give you glory, but all the glory goes to God. But thank you, church, for joining with us, being led of His Holy Spirit, joining with Pastor Brad in that way, and feeling called and feeling led to do that seed offering. You are seeing the fruits of that, and we're so thankful, and we're proud for RA Church, Rogers Assembly, for what they're doing. Amen. Amen. Hey, it's so good to have everybody here this morning. Again, I mentioned that I'm not preaching, so it's kind of nice when Pastor Brad's not here, that usually I'm the one that's preaching, but today we have someone super special. One of our own, one of our dear friends and drummer extraordinaire and all of the things, and I thought of some other things that I was going to say, but I'm probably going to hold off just because I know he'd be embarrassed, you know, he's a little bit bashful. Cross Point Church, would you give a warm welcome to our very own Reverend Tim Greaves?
Good morning, everybody. I feel like we've already had church. We had some worship. We had some good testimony up here. Exciting things going on at Rogers Assembly. And, of course, we had, you know, Pastor Mike up here preaching. I feel like I'm almost done, guys. I don't know about you. I was a little bit disappointed, though, that our youth didn't have Grandparents' Day meal. Can I get a hand raise of all the grandparents that are currently in this place? Everybody's a grandparent. You guys got a lot of cooking to do. A lot of cooking. We'll catch that up next year. LG, got it? Okay, she said yes. She didn't really say yes, but. So, first of all, thank you for showing up today, even though you had fair warning that I was going to be here this week. Thanks for showing up. I'm going to, you know, I joke around. I do some crazy things back there on the drums, and half the time I'm not looking, and you think I'm not paying attention. You didn't have to shake your head yes to that. I'm getting heckled already. But I do want you to know that I take this very seriously. The responsibility of the pulpit and what I've committed to and what Pastor Brad has asked me to do, and the Lord has asked me to do, I do take this very seriously. So I'm just putting that out there up front so that when we have some fun later on, you'll think, well, maybe he was serious. So I'm going to follow along with Pastor Brad's series about the inside out living. And he asked me to close up. This is a four-part series. He did 1, 2, and 3. He asked me if I would go ahead and do part 4 for him. So I'm going to go ahead and do that. And the great thing about this is he sent me his outline. So first of all, really easy for me. Second of all, if there's anything that you hear that I say that you like, that was mine. I'm not even going to say the rest. I don't have to. You get it. Sorry, Pastor Brad. I do want to start by showing you this video. You got me? Okay, I just want to show you this video real quick to get started.
'Tis the season of candy corn. You either love these things or you hate them. I love them, but one thing we can agree on is that nobody would call these healthy. So I'm going to show you just how easy it would be to rebrand candy corn to make it sound healthy. Check this out. For starters, I'm going to package the candy corn in a rustic-looking pouch. And unfortunately, a product with candy in the name is never going to sound healthy, so we have to change that. Honey is actually one of the ingredients in candy corn, so I'm going to rename these Honey Harvest Kernels and add Made with Real Honey. Still to this day, one of my favorite fun facts is if you stack candy corn up, it looks like a corn cob, so that's exactly what I'm going to use for the image on this package. But I do still want the focus to be on the honey, so I'm going to add a bunch of honeycomb onto the packaging too. And why not? Let's add some honeybees as well, give it more of that natural feel. I do still have to say that this is candy, so at the bottom, I will call this Wholesome Corn Kernel Candy, and I will add, to be honest, artificially flavored underneath that. It's just going to be small and buried at the bottom. To make them sound a little bit healthier, I will also add that they are fat-free and gluten-free. Now, candy corn does use corn syrup and artificial colors, but it doesn't use high fructose corn syrup or artificial sweeteners. So I'm going to add that to the top. And I don't like blank space, so I'm going to round things out with some golden corn stalks. And just like that, candy corn is a health food. Let me know how you think I did and hit me with your challenges for what I should rebrand into a health food next. If you think candy corn is gross, you're just plain wrong.
Yeah, just wants to be fine. Thanks. Crazy, huh? And I'm going to be talking today about what we show to the world. I'm not so deep to think that this is part of it. This was just fun for the time of season that it is. And the power of suggestion, the power of what we put out there and what it can mean to those people looking at it, okay? I'm certainly not telling us to put on a fake advertisement of our life out there. That's not what I'm here for. Don't think of it that deeply. It was just fun. I thought it was interesting. So today, I'm going to finish the series, and I'm just going to do a recap of weeks 1, 2, and 3 for you, okay? Just for those of you either here or online who did not listen to Pastor Brad when he was up here preaching, I'm going to do a recap for you. Maybe you'll listen to me. So week 1 focused on who you are, okay? And your identity is tied to representing God. Living out your identity means reflecting God's character, loving others, and walking in holiness from the inside out. And you know, Pastor Brad's been doing these corporate declarations at the end. It's not a, you know, you're not swearing into the armed forces or anything like that. It's just to get you to think about it through the week. If you say something, you're going to remember it more than if you're just listening to it. So that's why we're doing these corporate declarations as a church. And part of that says, I am who God says I am. My identity is his truth, and I will not bow down to the lies of the current culture. So the last song we played was, I am who you say I am. And I love that song because it's what God thinks about me that's really going to matter to us. And I'll get to that a little later. So then week 2 was priorities, all about priorities. And what you set your priorities on is going to set your whole life. And in that message, he read Matthew 6:33, and I'll use the King James Version because that's the way I grew up learning it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. hallelujah, hallelujah, if you're singing the song. That's the way I learned it. So it's about setting those priorities. And really what Jesus is saying is, if you continually prioritize God's rule and his way of life, then everything else will just fall into place. Okay? It doesn't say it's going to fall into place perfectly, guys. Okay? But it will fall into place according to God's purpose. And part of that corporate declaration included, reveal to me a new set of priorities and let me take ownership of them. So it's not enough just to say, hey, I'm going to prioritize that. You have to actually do it. Okay? I'm going to take ownership of those. And then last week, Pastor talked about how you live that out. And he talked about integrity. Okay? Integrity is just, you could preach 7 sermons on that in a row. The thing I liked about this was the story he told about Billy Graham and Billy Graham Ministries and how he set a set of rules up when he started his ministry to ensure integrity. And Billy Graham said he wanted the ministry's integrity to guard the impact of the ministry. We've all heard stories of ministers and you know, revivals led by a certain individual, and I'm certainly not pointing anybody out. I'm far from innocent on anything. But the ministry's out there and it's doing great, and then all of a sudden, something happens. They break their integrity. And the power of that ministry and the power that God is using in that ministry, while God can maintain it, a lot of times people will often then point to it and disregard that ministry. And that's something that Billy Graham really thought was important, so he set that up ahead of time. And that's something we need to do in our lives to set up our integrity so that our ministry to our circle of influence is protected. Fair enough? And today is, we're going to be talking about what others see. Kind of why I put up that candy in there, candy corn versus what others see. You notice the candy was still the same, right? So there is a key thought. This is inside out living. And there's a key thought that Pastor wrote, and it says, when God's work within you becomes visible through you, the world sees what heaven looks like on earth. I'm just going to repeat that. When God's work within you becomes visible through you, the world sees what heaven looks like on earth, or as close as it can be here. So the proof of inward transformation is your outward demonstration. You could tell Pastor wrote that because I don't talk like that. I'd say, show it. That's what you're going to do. But the proof of inward transformation is outward demonstration. And that's a good way to remember it, though. I mean, that's why Pastor is Pastor, and I just sit back there most of the time. And when I do preach, it's usually to kids. By the way, I'm imagining you guys all right now as children. So, fairly adult children, one that doesn't have to, cry or leave. Anyway, it's just easier for me. It's the way I grew up. What I'm showing to people in my everyday life, that's really telling them what's inside of me. And that's the key point that we're going to get to today through 6 points. You're like, what, 6? No, you'll still be out of here in time for lunch. So the key question for this entire thing is, what does it look like when the kingdom inside me becomes visible around me? And it's not about perfection, or we'd all be out. It's about trying. It's about living it out daily and showing everybody in your circle of influence, everybody you walk around, anybody who sees you, anybody who you talk to, pass on the street, in the mall. Do people go to the malls anymore? Okay, I don't know, it's been a while. But everybody who sees you, you want to be showing them what's inside of you, if that's God. So we're going to start with the posture of heaven. So we want to set your heart above. Colossians 3:1-2 says, "Since you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things." That reminds me of that, "Don't be so heavenly minded that you're of no earthly good." That's an old saying. That is not in the Bible, by the way. That's just an old saying. But it does say that's where you need to start. You need to start with your thoughts on heaven. If you start with this, you're not going to get up. You're not going to get to what God is actually telling me to do. Should have set my timer better on this. It keeps blacking out on me. That means, you know, that's a good timer. If I'm talking too much without looking at notes, then I'm going to go too long. So, good timer. Pastor Brad probably did that for me, Mike. So Paul is addressing the believers who've been spiritually resurrected. So they are already alive to a new realm. This passage says that. So this message today is really not for the unbelievers. I'm not telling the people who haven't accepted Christ and are living for them, him to stop listening or to close your laptop if you're at home. I'm just saying it's going to be hard to project a loving, godly life unless it's flowing out of you naturally, right? And how does that start? It starts with accepting Christ. So this message today is focused on what I would imagine is most of the people who I know in here, that's your life. You're followers of Jesus. And then today we're going to talk about how to refine that and show that to other people. The word set in the scripture, set your minds on things above, set, means to pursue with intentional focus. Okay, it's about the alignment of affection. So when I'm setting my mind, I'm focusing with an intent. So I can focus on a lot of things at once or none at all, which is usually the case because I have 27 thoughts running in my head that I should be focusing on all of them. And when you do that, what happens? You focus on none of them, right? Again, goes back to priorities. If I set with intention my mind on that priority of looking to heaven first, that's where we have to start this journey every day. So living inside out begins with thinking from heaven down, not earth up. Your internal mindset is determining your external motion. I was talking with Craig earlier today, and he told me about a guy who's old and grumpy at his work. And I said, "You mean besides you?" And he said, "Yes, somebody who's actually grumpier." Sorry, Craig, you didn't know that, did you? I told you I got the microphone today. Anyway, so his external, what people are seeing from him is grumpiness, not happiness, or not godliness. So I would just venture to say that he is not living his best life in Christ, Craig. Just guessing. And that's the way when you're walking around, if you have that grumpy look on your face and you've got that, everything's making me mad, even if things are making you mad, if you project that, how are you going to witness for Christ? And that's our job, right? Our job as believers is to witness for Christ. I don't want to approach somebody who's all mad and angry and say, "Hey, tell me about Jesus." That would be bad. That would be bad. I won't do that. So living a heavenly life without earthly mindset doesn't mean you abandon the earth, because God's people live on this earth, and they need you. Because they need to see God through you so that they can learn God and they can learn Jesus and they can start following Jesus and believing in him, becoming a servant of Jesus. So His thought for that section is transformation begins in thought before it's ever seen in conduct. So you got to hit your prayer closets in the morning. Wake up. My prayer closet usually includes songs because that's what's running around my head 99% of the time is music. I wake up from, you know, the middle of the night, there's a song running through my head. And so that's how I get into the right mindset for the day. I don't know what yours is. It may not be music. I don't understand why it's not, but not everybody's the same. So what we want to do is we want to work out what God works in you. Excuse me. Philippians 2, 12, 13 says, "Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you." So God working in me, that's how I'm going to work through me. I'm not going to work. That's how he's going to work through me. Sorry. But God doesn't say work for salvation, does he? We can't work our own salvation. We need God for that. But he says work out your salvation. Work out of your body, what God's already put in you. Okay, so if you've got this loving God in you and you're talking with God all the time in the Spirit, that's what he wants you to put out. Because inside me does nobody any good except for me. And I don't want to be selfish with God. So regardless of whether or not you're working out your salvation, as a person, as a human, we work out what is in us, okay? Try making a cake without the right things being poured in the batter. You're still going to get a cake. It might not rise if you didn't use the right ingredients. It might taste terrible if you didn't put everything in or you put in some bad stuff. I still remember this youth minister. He said he put one of his kids was complaining. LG, feel free to use this later. One of his kids were complaining about this movie they saw, and they said, oh, there's only a few bad things in it. Just a few bad things. And so he brought in brownies the next week, and he says, I only just put a little bit of dog poop in there. Who wants to eat it? Would you guys do that? Would you eat it? No. Okay, they're saying no. So smart. So that was his point. Just a little. Because the kids are saying it just has a few things in it. Well, you know, that's a little. So what's in me, if there's a little bit of bad in me, I don't want that little bit of bad in me to show. So I've got to overwhelm that with what God is doing with inside of me. So another big word here that Pastor wrote out, and katergizomai. I'm not Greek or whatever. It means work out. That's the word that's in the Bible that says work out. And what it really means is to bring to full expression. Work out your salvation. Bring it out to full expression so that the people around you will be changed. So salvation, it's planted inwardly but proven outwardly. Have you ever seen a non-believer be transformed to a believer? I mean, beside yourself. Hopefully beside yourself. The difference in that person, it's just mind-blowing. Their looks change. Probably because from that to this. Or it just could be their total countenance or how they treat other people or how they can look you in the eye when you're walking by and smile and say good morning. Rather than just downtrodden. And that transformation, that transformation, that salvation is just, it's overwhelming. It happened to me so long ago that I'd like to say I don't remember it, but God is good and I do remember it. And just the change that, I don't know if anybody else saw it, but the way I felt like people could see it. And that's what we want from you guys. So God deposits his nature in you. Your obedience is the means by which it becomes
visible. So God can plant it in all of us. And the way we're going to see a difference in us is the obedience to what God is telling us, what God is calling us to do. If my obedience is terrible, then it's going to show. If your obedience is good, it's going to show. And it's going to show differently. I don't want to put out a bad vibe. How could I be not obedient and then try to tell somebody about Jesus? It's not going to, well, it could work because God's God and God can do whatever he wants. But it's not going to work. God's probably going to have to find somebody else to reach that person, which he will do. But why not you? Why not me? So I think of God putting this in me as a seed is an illustration. From the moment it's planted, life exists. From the moment God comes into my heart, comes into my body, life exists. Okay? But it is covered up in a lot of dirt. And there's a struggle. Has anybody seen ever in their lives a time lapse of a seed in the ground? And as it's watered, as it grows, and it starts uncurling, and it starts fighting its way up through the dirt. Anybody ever seen that before? Science class, I don't know, back in the 70s. It's amazing. It's amazing to watch that in a time-lapse photography as it pops up out of the dirt. And there's the evidence of life. Life was already there on the inside. It just took a while. It took a while to be watered and nurtured. And then the fight, the struggle to burst up through the ground. Okay? Because we put a lot of struggle on what God's trying to do in our lives. Do we not? If we would just listen the first time. Sounds like my mom. Pastor wrote a note in here. I'm not reading it. It's just too funny. It was something funny to me, so sorry. I had to ignore it. Didn't come off my screen. So we have to get this inside, go through our lives, nurture it, water it, listen to God, obedience, and next thing you know, people can see it. There's the life that God put in us. And what do we show? Well, what's the product of that? The product is the fruit of the Spirit. So, pastor says, live fruitfully in a watching world. Now, I'm going to take you back to kids' camp. I'm going to take you back to children's church. Who remembers a song? The fruit of the Spirit isn't a banana. The fruit of the Spirit isn't a banana. If you want to be a banana, you might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the Spirit, because the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Boy, I loved it when he did watermelon. He would go, make a production out of it. If you want to be a banana or a watermelon, you can't be a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Fruit is not effort. Fruit is evidence. If you have the fruits of the Spirit in you, they're not in you. They're out of you. You're showing it to others. It doesn't stay in. Fruit does not make the tree alive. It's proof that the tree is alive. Right? So the tree can be there. The tree is growing. The tree is alive. There could be leaves on it. But if there's no fruit, what's God say to do to it? Cut it down. Get rid of it. Cut that branch. You have to show the fruits of what God's doing in you. You want to talk about everyday life without the fruits of the Spirit? Oh my goodness. It'd be amazing, terrible in an amazing way. But his pastor wrote a theological note. This word I can pronounce. Karpos, which is fruit, is singular. It's a great line here. But one fruit with many expressions. Meaning you don't get to pick which ones show up. True transformation bears all of them in harmony. But here's how they're going to show up. If I run across somebody who's unlovable, I better have love showing up as my spirit, my fruit of the Spirit that day. If things are unhappy, I better have joy showing out of me that day. So God's going to give you situations throughout your days to show each of the fruits of the Spirit. Some may come naturally to you. Robin, I've never seen you mad. Yeah, I mean, sure. Well, I'm not asking Tim that, but I've never seen you mad. So joy comes naturally to you. You're always walking around with a smile on your face. I love that. I appreciate that. So that's maybe one that just comes supernatural, whereas somebody, I don't know, maybe patience doesn't come to you. I don't know. We'll talk about that later, won't we, Tim, on Wednesday night men's class? Your name often comes up. Certainly kidding you. I'm certainly kidding you. That is a good class, though. For those of you who still want to join, there's plenty of time to join Wednesday nights. Pastor's teaching a class, How to Be a Man of God. It's a fantastic class. Anyway, so gifts and fruit are different. Gifts reveal ability, whereas fruit reveals maturity. I mean, people can be gifted and not mature in Christ. Gifts are like, they can be spontaneous. It can be something that are forever as well, but a gift can be spontaneous. But fruit needs that maturity. It needs to be out there. It needs to be cultured and grown from the ground up to a tree, to a fruit. So that's maturity. So gifts like intercessory prayer, hospitality, visions, insight, these aren't always apparent when you meet somebody. But mature fruit is always apparent to anybody who's walking by you. Okay? So number four is the proof of witness. Live as light in a dark generation. It's a big responsibility for us. Matthew 5, 14, 16 says, "You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." You're not getting to heaven by doing good works, right? But it says, let your light shine that they may see your good works and glorify yourself. No? Did I read that wrong? Of course I did. To glorify your Father in heaven. Good works are not about us who are doing them. It's about somebody seeing us do a good work and saying, why is that person doing this good work? They have no reason to be helping or doing this. What's different about that person? And that glorifies God because then we get to tell him why. Right? So Jesus in that verse doesn't say, try to be light, does he? For some of you out there, the great philosopher Yoda says, there is no try, only do or do not. Now, if this was kids' church, I would use the voice. He doesn't say try to be the light. He says you are light. And let me tell you something, folks. Light doesn't argue with darkness. It just shows up. And what happens to the darkness? Goes away. That's right. That's right. And there's no argument. I mean, I come in this church in the mornings, and I'm usually the first one here turning on lights and everything. One time I forgot to turn on the lights outside because there's a little switch out there before I come in. And I'm telling you, I couldn't see anything. Couldn't see the steps. And I'd grab my phone, find it, and get the light out. Once I had the light, I could see. So light isn't always about visibility, though. It's about clarity. When your life reflects God's character, others can finally see him clearly. As you may notice, I'm getting a little older, and I can't see anything in the dark anymore. I mean, I can't read a book unless there is a blasting light on the page. Anybody else? Okay. So by having more light and light on that, I can actually see from fuzz to clear words as I'm reading. So that's the way it is with us. We need to be the light so that others can see more clearly. And pointing to God, exactly. So your lifestyle is the sermon the world hears long before your words. And that's because light is faster than sound. Speed of light, speed of sound, so much difference. If I'm standing over here, I can't hear you, but I can see you. What you're doing, I can see, and that's first. That's the light that you're projecting in your life. And I can see that long before I get a chance to talk to you and have you tell me about Jesus. So it's important what people are seeing. Again, I'm not saying put on a fake appearance. I'm not saying this Sunday morning church, smile, how you doing? I'm doing great. And we've all done it. And in my heart, I want to be doing great all the time. Other days are, you know, some days are good, some days are not so good, but, you know, it is what it is. But we've got to show that lifestyle of fruit appearing from us so that others will see us. And we've got to be that light to others who are in the darkness. And it's not about one day. The next point is the power of consistency. Keep living what you've learned. It's not about just today. It's about consistency. Colossians 3:17 says, "Whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus." Inside out living means no compartments. You can't compartmentalize what you are going to do for Christ and what you're not going to do for Christ. He wants it all. And we want to keep things, don't we? Well, I can handle this one on my own, Lord. I don't need your help on that. At least that's what I do. But we can't. We have to give it all to him. How much better would our lives be if we just gave it all instead of trying holding things back? And as people, as humans, we want to say, well, there's some things I can do on my own. I'm self-sufficient. This is bad, but there's a lot of pride to be taken in doing something on your own. You build something. There's pride involved in that. Okay? We've got to get away from that. Got to get away from that pride and say, this is Jesus. I gave that to him. I gave that to the Lord, and the Lord helped me do that. Okay? So stop leaning on your own. Because when the Spirit transforms you, he doesn't just change your Sunday. He reorders your every day. Now, I know most of us, when we come to church on Sundays, we always feel better, don't we? Well, until about 4 o'clock, when we're done watching another miserable football game, then we don't feel so good. But Sundays are great. We get a chance to come in here, get refueled, re-energized for the week ahead. But when the Spirit really transforms your life, you can have that Sunday morning feeling all week long. And that's what we're striving for. So James 1:22 says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." Do what it says. You could sit here and listen every Sunday. Come on Wednesdays, listen on Wednesdays. If you're not doing what it says, what good are you? I mean, you're a lot of good. God loves you. Don't get me wrong. I love you. Don't get me wrong. But are you living it out? That's what the Bible tells us to do. It calls us to do that in James 1:22. Don't listen to the word and so deceive yourself. You're fooling yourself if you're just listening to the word. Do what it says. So this is our call to action. So what are some practical applications of this? Well, at home, I think a great application is to live peaceably. Nobody likes turmoil in the home. Nobody, well, I don't know, a lot of people like turmoil, period, but in the home, it's even worse. Let the grace of God flow through you at home. Old Toby Mac song, love is in the house, and the house is packed. So much love, I left the back door cracked. It goes on from there, I won't go through the rest. And I'm no rapper like Toby. When I was growing up, my house was the house to gather at, to play football game. We had a big backyard. But it was also because of love that was in that house. There wasn't any yelling and screaming. I mean, between the boys there were, don't get me wrong. You know, boys are boys. But my mom and dad projected love at that house. And you show up and you are welcome. And that drew people to the house. Not because of my mom, but just because of the love that was flowing out of that house. Who doesn't want to feel loved? And then another application is at work. Lead with integrity. So we were in class, I think it was earlier this year, maybe April or something, and my friend Al Peterson was teaching a class. And I called to get his permission to ask to tell the story. So he said yes, so I'm not telling tales on Al. But when Al took this new job, he was talking with God like he always does. And there was an agreement that while he's at this job, he is not going to join in and drink alcohol with the rest of the people who are at his work. And Al traveled everywhere. You know, Germany, the lunch hall at the German location where you go, all the guys are drinking steins of beer at lunch, you know, and he's in France and they're drinking wine. And so whatever that was, Al talked to God and God said, don't do it. And Al said, okay, I won't do it. So it wasn't about Al trying to make himself look better or not drink and be blue. And there was a lot of pressure for Al to do that. Because that's business, or that's the way most businesses can be. But Al stayed true to that. And he was blessed in his life. He was blessed at his job. When he would go to Germany the next time, you know, after everybody realized Al's this way and Al's going to stay this way. This is Al. He's showing God to us. Everybody have their steins of beer and they'd have a little cider for you. Is that what you said, Al? A little cider for him, especially for him. So they respected that. It wasn't just respected that. It's the integrity that Al had every day to stick to his agreement that he made with God. Al didn't judge anybody for drinking at lunch. He didn't care. That wasn't the point. The point was he made a promise to God and he stuck to it. And it showed to his work as well as his life. So thank you for that story and let me share that, Al. And finally, in the world, we're called to love without condition. And that is sometimes hard. The way that the politics have ruled this world right now, it is difficult. Well, it's not difficult. It's difficult to see any love in that. I'll just put it that way. But if I've got a certain view on something and you agree with me, fantastic, I love you. And if I have a view on something and you don't agree with me, fine, I love you. We may never agree on that point. That's not the point. The point is to show love to that person. Because God doesn't say, I only love the people who love me. Does he? No, God says, I love everybody, and I want everybody to come to me and live with me forever in heaven. Why are we picking and choosing if God didn't pick and choose? Amen? All right. So, so there's a pattern of Christ, and wow, I'm a little longer than I thought I was going to be today. The next thing is the pattern of Christ. So let's see what Christ did. Philippians 2:5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which also in Christ Jesus," which is also in Christ Jesus. And Jesus lived out the perfect life, did he not? He thought with the heart of heaven. "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." That's the heart of heaven. He walked with humility of a servant. In John 13, it says, after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet. He was a servant and did it with humility. And he lived with the purpose of redemption. I looked up redemption because, you know, as Christians, we go, "Oh, I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed." I wanted to get a more finite definition of it, what the world thinks redeemed is. And there was a great one. There was a couple of different definitions. And one of them was all about sin and everything like that, which is fantastic, and that's what we go with. But I chose the other one to read to you. It says, "The action of regaining or gaining possession of something in exchange for payment, of clearing of debt." That is powerful. He gained and regained possession of us in exchange for his payment, which was death on the cross. And Jesus knew his purpose before he ever left heaven. He was focused. And to go back to something that I said earlier, he was set to redeem us. He set himself to come here to earth to redeem us. That was his purpose. That's his nature. Okay? But the goal isn't to act like Jesus. What? It's not to act like Jesus? No, we don't want to act like Jesus. Even though we like those WWJD things. We don't want to act like Jesus. We want to be transformed until his nature flows through us. So we're not acting. I don't want to act. I want it to flow through me naturally. So, in closing, I got some bad news for you guys. The world is watching the work of God in you. The world is watching you. I'm going to tell a little story here. I'm not going to name any names. But we had our Jeep in for repair this summer. I think they had it for 8-9 weeks. It was kind of ridiculous. And there were some exchanges back and forth, you know, we tried this and we got to get warranty coverage for that. And it was aggravating to say the least. 8-9 weeks of not having a Jeep in the summer where the top was up the whole time. So back and forth and back and forth with this dealership. And so we get it back and 2 days later I got to take it back again, because something else broke on it. And it was pretty upsetting. And I'm not going to say who said this, but somebody said to me, "Stop acting nice to the dealership." I'm not going to say who said that, but somebody said, "Stop acting nice." And I said, "Rhonda, I'm not acting." Oh, did I let that out? I said, "I'm not acting." And then she used a superhero reference and said, "I need the other guy." But for those of you who know who that one. But I said, "How can I go in there and not be nice to these people on a Thursday and expect to take the pulpit on Sunday? Who's going to listen to me?" There might be somebody from that place that is online right now watching. And what witness would I have if I went in there and went off and then came up here and started preaching love and acceptance and patience and kindness and all of that? I would have zero witness, would I not? So it's not about acting, guys. It's about the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit flowing through you that allowed me to be nice, not just act nice. I am not nice all the time. Just letting you know, I am not perfect. I'm not even a hint of close. But it's about trying. It's about God working in me every single day. I'm going to finish with this. There's a song by a Christian group called Plank Eye. And I put this in here because Pastor Nicole calls them Stink Eye. She never lets me do any of their music, which I don't blame them. Most of you would not like it. The young people wouldn't like it. The old people wouldn't like it. Old like me and possibly older. Probably three people in here would like it. And I'm two of them. But they have a song, and the words say, "Riddled with the pain of falling short, I promised you I'd always try my hardest. And do you think I'm trying? No, I wouldn't either." This is a guy talking to God. "God, I promised you I'd always try my hardest. And what do you think? Do you think I'm trying?" And of course, God's answer is, maybe not. No, I wouldn't either. So although I'm not perfect, I have to try every day. And I got to try my hardest every day because that's what I told God I would do. Try every day. Amen? So I mentioned earlier that if you are not currently living with Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you may not fully understand or take to heart this message. And I hope I was wrong. But inside out living starts with accepting Christ. If you have not accepted Christ, what are you waiting for? Do it. Accept Christ in your heart. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands or ask for a commitment right now. We have a lot of people around this church who would love to talk with you if you need to help in making that decision. We have prayer leaders. We have Pastor Mike and Christine. You can't hardly swing a dog around without hitting a pastor in this church. There's plenty of us. I didn't want to say dead cat. That'll hurt Alyssa's feelings. Come talk to us if you have questions. Come talk to us, and we'll lead you through that. We also have some resources at the VIP Center. They're specifically set for first-time believers, and if you've accepted Christ, here's what to do next. But if you haven't made that decision yet, pick one up anyway on your way out. See what next means. Maybe that'll help you make the first step. Amen? So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to close. And I appreciate you guys' time. I hope that you're ready to live this inside-out living. Okay? Heavenly Father, I thank you for giving us all the tools to follow you. All of the tools. For showing us what our identity is in you. For giving us instructions to seek you first so that all other things fall into place. And for showing us how to live a life of integrity. And giving us your Holy Spirit that by living out our lives with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, we may show the world what heaven looks like here on earth. And as always, Lord, not for our glory, but for yours. So, Lord, we ask that you go with us today and bless our interactions with others this week so that we can show you in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Tim. Church, I hope you were blessed this morning. The challenge is set before us. I'm reminded of what Psalm 19:14 says. Says it this way: may these words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you. So what's coming out of you, may it be pleasing to him. Church, let's be salt. Let's be light. I'm going to ask that you would stand with me. We've been for the past several months is that we all together agree and we all together proclaim in a congregational recital. And we'll have the words on the screen, and if you're joining us online, you'll see those as well. But I'm going to ask, as we wrap up today, we agree as a church family of what was spoken this morning, what was read to us, what was preached to us. My prayer and my heart for you is that it would be imprinted upon your heart and your mind so that you may easily recall it, that the Holy Spirit will bring those things to your heart and to your mind so that you and I can be fruit. I'm going to say this out loud, and I'm just going to ask that you would repeat after me. Lord, let what you've done in me become visible through me.
Lord, let what you've done in me become visible through me.
Let my words, my walk, my worship, my witness reveal your kingdom. From the inside out. Church, come on now, let's be that. Let's be his church to the world that needs to see and to hear who Jesus Christ is. Amen. Father God, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, Father, we give you praise, we give you thanks. We ask, God, by your stripes we are healed, and we proclaim, God, that healing as a testimony to bring the light to the world who needs to hear. Father, we gave you thanks, for we ask this in your precious and holy name. Everybody said, amen. Church, we'll see you next week. God bless.